The Natural Nurse with Ellen Kamai and Dr. Z, Mondays at 1 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Joining us today for The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and we're always so happy to be part of Gary Null's station, Progressive Radio Network, and of course, many of you are listening live at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, but if you hear something you like and you would like to check it out later or share it with your friends or family, you can always go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, click on Archives, and then go to The Natural Nurse, because that's where our shows are archived. And today, we are very happy to have on board as our guest, Dr. Michael Greer. Dr. Greer attended Hahnemann Medical University and interned at Mattigan Army Medical Center. He is an integrative medical specialist who focuses on holistic, herbal, homeopathic, and naturopathic solutions for health, incorporating the best of conventional medicine along with natural medicine and philosophies. He shares his experience in publications and speaking engagements at major universities and seminars internationally on a wide range of topics, including metabolic disease, adrenal health, thyroid regulation, estrogen dominance, osteoporosis, men's health, and specific laboratory testing to optimize wellness and longevity. On today's show, Dr. Greer will focus on hair loss and its relationship to stress. The relationship is multifaceted, involving thyroid, estrogen dominance, blood sugar control, detoxification, mineral content, as well as vascular flow. And you can contact Dr. Greer at michaelgreermd.com. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Michael.
Good morning. How are you? Afternoon in New York.
Well, it's great, and I'm so happy that you were able to be with us. Now, as we talked about in your intro, you have a long list of conventional training in medicine, and you were board certified way back in 1984. So yes. What led you into more of a holistic practice?
My patients ended up, I'm a board certified OBGYN, and I retired clinical practice seeing patients this summer, July 31st. So now I just consult and teach physicians only. But my practice was actually OBGYN. I'm Army trained, so I delivered about 1,000 babies with my team. We did it 300 babies a month, 40 surgeries a week at Mattigan in the Army. And my father's retired military also, so it was good training for me to in the day. 1984, it seems like it's ages ago, but not like yesterday. But my patients ended up going through regular conventional medications, and they didn't get better. And then herbs came on board, and I was around in the days when the herbal companies were only making one herb per pill. So there wasn't combined products with the best of the antioxidants and the best of the combination products for blood sugar control or cholesterol control. So you had to research these things kind of individually. But I ended up having a patient that had PMS very badly. And here I am, a surgeon, and I'm taking, and I think I'm progressive and going to all the seminars and board certified and following the rules. However, the Lupron and the choices that were out there for the women were so devastatingly harsh on their bodies, and they were just actually so expensive being FDA approved. So I went to a seminar on whole nutrition, vitamins, herbs, hormones, and started using natural progesterone. And I used natural progesterone cream on my patients that had endometriosis and pelvic pain and lesions. I would laparoscope them first and then actually treat them with micronized progesterone transdermally or orally. And then I would laparoscope them again and find that they had their lesions gone. Their pain was gone. Their lesions were gone. And it wasn't like, you know, voodoo. It was like, I have the video before and after. And it was like, oh, my God, I need to change my life. I need to change the way I think. I need to be more open, more understanding to other modalities. And I need to research more. But my patients were the reason that I ended up becoming the doctor that I am now, where I actually cross both sides of the fence and look at regular lab testing, which is actually the gold standard, and saying, this is the lab test, this is the result, this is the value this result needs to be to say this is a real number and not the lab number. So,
what an excellent story, Dr. Greer. I love it, and I have to say, you have been looking at this for several decades, and you know I've been involved in natural medicine since 1964. And time again, doctors have that story where they went into medicine to be a healer.
Right.
And they found that sometimes they were very limited in the amount of help that they were able to offer patients. And when they started to bring in natural therapies, they saw marked results with a much better adverse event profile.
Oh, much better. The bad part is that once you declare yourself an independent thinker, then you actually sometimes get the scorn of the administrator, because it's not following the rules of the clinic for actually PDR-approved drug protocols.
You're so right. Now, worse than that, of course, I know many fabulous physicians who have had their licenses taken away for excellent patient care, basically, but for not doing the standard of care as regulated in that area.
Right.
So there's a lot of work that has to be done here, both in educating physicians, the public, and the politics involved with natural medicine. But we're so happy with that excellent report that you gave. Now, today's focus topic, and of course, obviously, you can speak on so many topics, but we're going to talk about a specific topic, which is hair loss.
Right.
And I found that an interesting one, because it's not like, God forbid, you know, cancer or something really terrible, but
right.
It certainly is for some people.
It's terrible.
Yeah, so let's talk about that.
What made you choose that topic? If you are a woman and you have... Your hair is your crown. Your hair is your crown. It's in all the beauty magazines. It's in everything. And every woman wants a beautiful head of hair. They want thick, lustrous, luminous, glorious, magnificent head of hair. It's your crown. And when women start to lose their hair, more than men so, their self-esteem goes down dramatically. And they do many, many things, almost anything, to actually try to restore that hair to come back. As I was telling you, we were doing the pre-interview, many times hair is a manifestation of total overall wellness and health. It's a sign of stress when you have no hair. It's a sign of high cortisol and poor blood sugar regulation, because the scalp of the hair is actually not nourishing the hair follicles, and the hairs themselves are stressed. So hair loss and hair thinning are just a classic example of all body endocrine regulation having to be in balance at the same time.
And now, you certainly brought up that the case of women. Is this true also with men, or what is the implication of male pattern baldness here?
Male pattern baldness is actually the conversion of testosterone into dihydrotestosterone. Now, your point is brilliant, because male pattern baldness can also be averted and sometimes prevented. A lot of times it's very much genetic and hereditary. However, men also love their hair, and this is why you see the hair restoration clinics and the hair transplants and hair follicles that men pay thousands of dollars to do, just to actually have the ability to approach another person and still feel they have self-esteem. We're not seeing the amount of toupees that we saw, 20 years ago, because many times we're seeing these men have hair transplants. But men is also very important. One of the herbs, a little pearl along the way, is one of the pearls for stopping dihydrotestosterone is a 5-alpha reductase inhibitor. And two products that would be great would be nettle root, N-E-T-T-L-E, root. It comes in a liquid form, 1 teaspoon morning and night. And what that does is it cleaves off the binding sites to allow testosterone to be more received on the sex hormone binding globulin to allow men and women to actually keep their hair. So,
wow, thank you for that. Do you know, I have been an herbalist all these years. I've written 12 books about herbal medicine, and we always suggest nettle leaf as more of a tonic and used for urinary tract sometimes, but right. Nettle root for prostate. And now you just described the mechanism of action, why that may be appropriate, as well as the fact that it may be helpful for hair loss.
Exactly. And this is the golden, this is the number one choice. And then the second choice for hair loss prevention for women and men is also salt palmetto, because it works at the same mechanism for actually inhibiting 5-alpha reductase. The third pearl, working on the same mechanism, is the mineral zinc, because zinc is also a 5-alpha reductase inhibitor and also an aromatase inhibitor. So when you look at hair loss, you're looking at all the components that say, let's actually work on the hormones, let's work on lowering the cortisol, lowering your stress, let's work on keeping your blood sugar even, because a person can gain tons of weight and eat nothing if they are stressed, because the cortisol from the adrenal glands will activate the liver glycogen to get the sugar out of the body to feed the brain. This person ate nothing, but their blood sugar stores that are in the liver and muscles and all tissues will then actually be activated for life-sustaining purposes. And this is why cortisol is that hormone that is the fight or flight, and you must have it for basic life function. Because if the glucose level falls below 83 milligrams per deciliter, the insulin stops pumping to say, I don't need you anymore. However, if the blood sugar goes below 70, cortisol is now activated to say, wake up, you need some sugar for your basic function.
Now, would that help explain in women why so many, just their body changes and they gain weight, especially belly fat, at menopause, even without any increased eating or decreased exercise?
Exactly. Women, actually, your points are so brilliant, because this is like when we have seminars that we do pretty much every other weekend around the country, and we'll be in Australia next June. But all questions are so good, because it just opens the door for so many more things. And the question about women actually gaining weight, and actually why, and why do women die? The major reason for women's death is not breast cancer, it's heart attacks. Women die of heart attacks. And what's the relationship? The relationship is women have high cortisol fed by high estrogen. And when you have high estrogen or estrogen dominance, which means you don't have to be a fat person to actually be estrogen dominant. You could be 100 pounds and actually have more estrogen than receptor hormone and almost zero progesterone. That person is now E2 dominant. The rate-limiting hormone for cortisol is estrogen. The rate-limiting hormone for estrogen is cortisol. The two of them play off each other. So one is activated, the other one is now activated, which now activates the other one. So what's happening here is that all of the adrenaline and all of the epinephrine and all the stressors are now in the blood, activating all the body tissues. Those tissues are now on constant alert all the time, which is the reason that women actually die of heart attacks more than men, than colon cancer, than breast cancer. So it really is quite a dance of the hormones and how they all work on each other. And it's really intriguing, because you say, wow, it's like the part that we didn't mention is that by having high cortisol, and by having high estrogen, you now have a decrease in thyroid-binding globulin. So your thyroid is in the toilet, which means you have to wear a long-sleeve sweater in the middle of July or August when everybody else is nice and warm and you're still cold. Because now your thyroid is off, which means now your metabolism is off, which means you're going to gain more weight and have more cortisol, because the cortisol binds, inhibits the receptor site of thyroid-binding globulin. So it's kind of complicated, and when I actually went from a regular doctor to a natural consultant, lecturer, physician, where I'm actually teaching myself and other doctors how I think, it took about 3 years to get all the pieces together, to get all the concepts nailed down, to say, now it makes perfect sense.
Because, and of course, it continues to evolve, because obviously you're keeping up with the real literature that is published literature in mainstream medical journals. And why most doctors have no clue about this, I really find really hard to figure out.
It is. It's so political. Much of it is now political. Regular medicine is now put into camps, where it's actually Kaiser, Group Health, HMOs, and these doctors are all under contract. So they're not like us. I'm an older doctor. I'm 61 years old. And so in my day, when I first came on board, if you were the smartest doctor on the entire city, you had the most patients, because it was all word of mouth and referral. Now, it actually doesn't work that way, because you belong to a group. And if your patient is sick, and that patient actually can benefit with better care from a physician outside of your group, you will lose your job if you refer that patient out of your clinic, because the administrator is all about keeping the money in the clinic. So healthcare has changed tremendously, which is why I talk to my naturopath constituents, and I teach to chiropractors, NDs, acupuncturists. And now so many MDs are attending my lectures, because when you go to A4M, have you been there yet?
Yes.
And A4M is the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, and it's progressive, and it's all the doctors who want to know about natural medicine and alternative medicine go there. Of the attendees that go there, 70% are MDs. So that just tells you that they're hungry for the knowledge, but they're funding that trip out of their own pocketbook.
Yes, and functional medicine also is another group, which is heavily attended by MDs. And I'd like to invite you right here on air, Dr. Greer, if you ever know that you're going to be in the New York area. I actually am a instructor in the Department of Family Medicine at Stony Brook Medical School, and we'd love to have you do a grand rounds.
Oh, I would love that.
So that's something to consider reaching a lot of mainstream physicians, but, you know, they're starting to hear this information, and everything I present and everything you present is evidence-based.
That's correct.
So there is no argument.
That is totally correct. It's very documented. The studies are there. The references are there. And the way you put it together is, this is the scenario. And as you know, the whole world is 10, 15 years behind you and me. Because your journey, how you started for more holistic and more natural, was your personal quest and mission for yourself and your family, knowing that you need to eat green vegetables and actually be more healthy and lower your cortisol and have more harmony in your life and not have xenoestrogens. And now it's like everything's wheat-free, gluten-free, natural. The world's trying to catch up. So we were on the right road as pioneers, which is why it's okay if we are actually not endorsed early on in our lives, because we led the way. One of the best examples of leading the way is our dear friend Oprah. And everybody loves Oprah, and they loved having to be part of her battles of her weight loss. But in her magazine, her Oprah magazine, she actually talked about thyroid. And Oprah said, your TSH value should be a 2.5 or below. the regular labs out there today, and this is Quest and LabCorp and Dynacare, their lab values go 2.2 to 5.5. A progressive lab will have it be down to 2.2 to 4.4. However, if you have a TSH over 2.5, you are going to have clinical hypothyroidism. So your doctor could say, check my thyroid for my weight loss. Why am I losing my hair? Why is my cortisol high? Why do I cry all the time? Why am I so nervous? How did I gain 10 pounds in 1 week and I ate nothing? And they'll say, check my thyroid. Well, the patient needs to know that their thyroid needs to be in between a 1.0 and a 2.0. And that's actually endorsed by the American College of Endocrinology and the American Association of Biochemists. And they've been trying to tell the labs for 17 years to lower the values. If you lower the values of what's normal and not normal, most of these people will be treated with thyroid medication or herbs and minerals for their hair, which actually is a manifestation of thyroid, to actually say, I lost 10 pounds, I have more energy, I'm not cold anymore, and I have a normal temperature. One of the best pearls for me to give you on this show is to tell your audience to make sure your temperature is 98.6, and you're allowed to be 1 degree less than that, so you can be 97.6. If you are below 97.6, you are hypothyroid. If you have a temperature of 99.6, you're going to be having a fever, and you're going to feel hot and not feel well. For your doctor, for years to say, oh, I always run a low temperature. It's like, oh, it's so normal for me. It's like your temperature is 96.6. That's okay. That's normal. Wrong answer. That woman, that man is hypothyroid. You need to actually fix the thyroid by doing three things. We said them already. We actually work on the cortisol to get the cortisol actually nourished and sustained. You actually work on your estrogen to actually lower your estrogen because that actually activates the cortisol. Or you give yourself minerals, which is your zinc, your copper, your selenium, your tyrosine, your iodine, to convert your thyroid T4 into active thyroid T3. When that happens, all your cells wake up. All your energy is restored. All your engines are all reset. The factory's running again. When the factory's not running, everything stands still. So when we talk thyroid, it's like thyroid needs to be the number that Oprah said. Now, as a result of Oprah, she got her hands slapped for giving medical advice. So she actually went under huge scrutiny and criticism for telling the public what their doctors should have been telling them. But Ellen, the doctors didn't tell them. The patients are walking around with abnormal lab values that years later doctors say, oh, the newest value says blood sugar needs to be 100, triglycerides 100, cholesterol can no longer be 300, it can be now 200. So
they're changing. Let's talk about another one, but we do need to just take a couple of minutes to allow Progressive Radio Network to do a little station IDs and for you to take a breath. Boy, oh boy, are you full of energy and information.
Thank you.
We were talking here, and we'll come right back after our little break.
We're talking here
with Dr. Michael Greer, and you can find out more at michaelgreermd.com. A plethora of information that is evidence-based, intelligent, and will be the leading voice in the medicine of the future. You're listening right here to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You can always contact us at naturalnurse.com. And we will be right back with more right here on Progressive Radio Network. again, thank you so much for joining us today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we are here today with our guest, Dr. Michael Rear, medical doctor. He has been elucidating the link to hair loss and weight gain and other issues of health and wellness and how they relate to stress and what we can do about it. And we left off, Dr. Greer, talking about the thyroid. And I do want to tell our listeners also that I have several books that I've written, and one is called Cycles of Life, Herbs for Women. And in that book, which you can find by just going to naturalnurse.com and click on books, I do have a really in-depth explanation about what you just shared with the thyroid.
Excellent.
And how people can measure that on their own using a basal metabolic temperature thermometer, which is quite cost-effective.
Exactly.
Why the mainstream medical tests often never pick up this underactive thyroid, and what to do about it. And we'll let you share that as well, because I talk about things like using reflexology points, doing specific yoga stances if the person can, a combination of a shoulder stand followed by a fish. Not everybody can do that, but those who can learn to do yoga, along with various kinds of stress reduction techniques like you're focusing on.
Yep.
And some of the minerals and supplements.
Well, let's talk about that. So when you talk about any condition for thyroid, it's always paramount to know that no thyroid medication will work whatsoever unless the adrenals are restored. So you must have adrenal restoration first, and which is mostly saying put the fire out before you can have it rebuilt. Always know that every cell in the body, every hair cell, liver cell, pancreatic cell, every cell has thyroid hormone receptors. If the cortisol is not modulated and actually de-stressed, those thyroid receptors will not work. So when you go to fix someone's thyroid, you always have to fix at the same time, more aggressively, the adrenals first. And when you talk hair, you want to use herbs that actually have a role in hair and mineral. Like nettle, we said, is high in vitamin D and silica and zinc and vitamin A, A, B, and C. You want your ginkgo. You want your echinacea root for your cortisol at the same time. You want garlic for stress reduction for the adrenals and for cholesterol, clean out the liver. You want to have good supply of minerals, which is why when you see products down the shelf that say hair, skin, and nails, you'll say all these minerals. Well, what do these minerals do? They act as enzyme cofactors to allow completion of proteins from one to the other. And the best example is going for thyroid. So all of us know, and if we know, we know that Synthroid is made by, is synthetic, and it's all T4. So it's
right. All of us don't know. That's why we have you on, Dr.
Oh,
Greer.
Bless your heart.
Excellent. Thank you for explaining that to
bless
us.
Bless you. So Synthroid is all thyroxine, which is all T4. Just like you said in your comments, we said thyroid has to be T3. So T3 is the active form of the thyroid molecule. T3 is 8 times more potent than T4. So if a person is actually having their hair loss and stress and they're cold and their doctor has them on Synthroid and they say, let's give you more Synthroid. Well, that won't help, because if they have poor minerals in their body, no zinc, no selenium, no iodine, no tyrosine, they can't convert the T4 into T3. So T3 is actually fire. T4 is firewood. And this is why many of my patients, I place them on Armour Thyroid, because it has 75% T4 and 25% T3. So it has firewood and fire built in together. But thyroid is actually the manifestation of hypothyroid, adrenal stress. Adrenal stress, and the hair is thin. And the best example is looking at someone and looking at their hair. And they'll say, are you stressed? And they'll say, how did you know? Well, your hair is thinning. Your follicles are not as dense, especially if you have a woman who's Italian and used to have very thick, very lustrous, very compact hair follicles. And now she has to have hairspray and to comb the hair a certain way just to have that same look, or plump the hair up with fillers. That's a sign of stress because it means that their sugar regulation has not been even. And the best way to think about sugar and cortisol is that if the blood sugar dips too low, your body's always going to save you. And it's going to go like a seesaw, up and down, up and down, up and down. And when it does that, the cortisol is now activated in your entire body system. Just by eating properly and by having protein 4 times a day, small portions, not overeating, and it's just you got one. You multiply 0.36 by your body weight, and that's the amount of protein that you need every day, because it's based upon how much muscle.
See, that's an interesting point, because I have noticed that people who follow a vegan diet for several decades, let's say,
yes,
often have a lot of these symptoms that you're talking about. Into not lustrous hair, feeling very weak and cold, sort of a concave chest,
right,
and not a lot of vim and vigor. And of course, if we look at traditional medical treatment, and I mean by traditional things like Ayurvedic medicine and traditional Chinese medicine, they talk about the energetics of that in terms of yin and yang,
yeah,
or fire within Ayurvedic medicine, like you're talking about. So there
right.
might also be a link there as well.
And the most important point we haven't even mentioned today yet is your fish oils or your flaxseed oils.
Oh, please share that with us.
I mean, well, the part that you need to know is that omega-3s actually are purely anti-inflammatory. So the way they metabolize is when you have omega-3, 6s, and 9s, so let's just take omega-6 and omega-3 and put one across the table from the other. If you actually consume the diet of equal proportions of each one, there's only one enzyme that competes between the two. So by the law of dominance, whatever has the most content, if you have more omega-3, you're going to guarantee to have end products that are anti-inflammatory. If you have more omega-6, down the chain, there's some good, and you have your GLA, which is your evening primrose oil, your borage oil, your sesame oil. Those are very good oils that are anti-inflammatory that come from omega-6s. Those oils are very good for people who have nervousness and paresthesias in their hands, or tingling, or neuropathy, or nerve injuries. So that omega-9 is actually very, very, very good. When you go down that same chain, however, then you're going to get arachidonic acid, which is very inflammatory, and it comes mostly from meats, and it actually will go into inflammatory molecules. So omega-6 and omega-3 compete. Always know that you only are in control of 20% of your entire body. 80% is controlled by your genetics, your mother and your father. So think of it as a ping pong ball covered with grease. And all you have is 20% of that ping pong ball exposed for good oils to come in to get all the receptor sites of all the hormones cleaned out. Because remember, cholesterol is the mother of all hormones. Cholesterol makes all your estrogen, all your testosterone, all your DHEA. Every hormone precursor comes from cholesterol originally. So your body makes cholesterol in your liver and your tissues, and that's the nourishment hormone, hormone that makes all the other hormones.
So what happens, Dr. Greer, to both men and women who are so quickly put on statin drugs?
Oh, my God. Well, that's one of the worst things that could ever happen, because what happens is that they deplete their CoQ10, and actually the side effects of the statins are actually just muscle aches, myalgia, most times muscle aches, pains, cramps, low libido. Many people who are placed on statins actually do not have an improved quality of their life. If you lower cholesterol too low, your point is excellent, and that's below 160, you have a much higher risk factor of suicide, because cholesterol is a very excellent hormone. And I have a lecture I do on cholesterol, and it starts off with cholesterol is not a dirty word. Cholesterol is the hormone that puts your fires out. And think of it this way. When you have stress, mental stress, physical stress, kids, traffic, jobs, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. Cholesterol is the hormone that is transported to put the fire out. So think of it as lipoproteins, which means lipo, which is lipid, protein, a carrier that takes this lipid from A to B. What it does then is it actually soothes itself like oil and puts the fire out. That is cholesterol. Most of the cholesterol that comes out of the liver to put the fire out is LDL, low-density lipoprotein. Well, HDL from the liver, which is high-density lipoprotein, its job is to go get the residual leftover garbage and bring it back to the liver and to the bile and gallbladder and get it pooped out. So if you have too much inflammation and not enough HDL receptor sites, the inflammation stays in your arteries and your blood, and the inflammation will then cause you to actually start having atherosclerosis, and now you're going to have your heart attack, because cholesterol insinuates itself into the lining of the arteries and smolders like a smoking gun until it ruptures from the plaque in the lining, and then you have a pulmonary embolism. So even from having stress, you can have elevated cholesterol by having more stress. So I wonder if New Yorkers have more stress and higher cholesterol than people that live in an idyllic farm valley environment.
Well, that would be an interesting thing to do research into. And boy, oh boy, the program went fast, and we're almost at the end. But I do want to tell people that they can find you at Michael Greer, that's GREERMD.com. And just to recap, we went into many different topics, and people might have been listening, like maybe I could just put something on my head and all my hair will grow back. And you certainly have elucidated basically a program that leads you to health and wellness and is protective against heart disease, against cancer, and is linked to also establishing healthier hair growth.
Correct.
So you talked about nettles, saw palmetto, zinc, selenium, a plethora of information. I invite our guests to listen once again. Just go to progressiveradionetwork.com, look for The Natural Nurse under Archives, and you will hear Dr. Greer's show once again. So thank you so much for being our guest today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed myself immensely. Thanks for inviting me.
And thank you, listeners. You can always find out more at naturalnurse.com. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. And as always, we're wishing you the best. Stay healthy.